Well, amen. We're meeting on Wednesday night. In the past, we've always focused on the children's program on Wednesday night. We're focusing more on the adults this summer. And Brent and Jennifer's class starts at 6 o'clock. Everybody matters, and I know several of you are involved in that. It's the pastor's class meets in Miss Whitley's classroom, in the ladies' classroom, over next to my office. So it starts at 7, and you're invited to whichever one you feel most comfortable in. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 37, as we look at the character of Joseph, at least this week. We'll see where this leads us to, but we're going to look at the life of Joseph, but more the character of Joseph. Most of you know the story of Joseph, and perhaps you've seen that more than most characters in the Bible. Let's stand together. And chapter 37. And we're going to just take up right at the beginning of where Joseph's character really begins to shine. So beginning with verse 23, I will read it aloud and you can follow along in your Bible. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and said, "The child is not, and whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goat, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found, and know not whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it, and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him, and Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son, mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him unto Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Our Father, we thank you and praise you for this day and for every blessing of life. Lord, we pray that you would direct our thoughts and our heart today. We pray, God, that you'd open our spiritual eyes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I've stolen some of this, but I want to give credit who I got it from. The title is what I heard David Jeremiah say, that Joseph was Joseph no matter where he was. Joseph was Joseph no matter where he was. So when he was in the pit, he's Joseph. When he's in Potiphar's house, he's Joseph. When he's in the palace, he's Joseph. When he is at the head, leading the kingdom of Egypt, he's Joseph. So his character remains strong and steady. And that brings glory and honor to the living God, no matter where he was. And so we look at the life of Joseph and we look at his character, and we have to say in our own lives that if we're on the assembly line at the factory, we're a Christian. We're who God has called us to be. If we're down at the schoolhouse and we're teaching, or we're meeting with the board, or if we're down at the service station or at Walmart or at the feed store, or out in the field by ourselves on the tractor, or we're in Las Vegas, Nevada, or Vales, Colorado, wherever we might be, as Christians, we are to be the same. And the character of Jesus Christ is to shine out in our lives, no matter where we are. But now Joseph faced some controversy, some trouble in his life. Trouble came to him. Now, unlike me, lots of difficulty that I get into, I caused it myself. Any amens there on your part? Not my part. Don't say amen on my part, but on your part. That Andy Griffith said, I'm always getting the seat of my pants caught on my own pitchfork. And I seem to do that frequently. But it's through something that has come out of my mouth that should not have come out of my mouth. Some move I made that I should not have made. Something that I've done that I shouldn't have. Joseph brought none of this on himself. He was despised, and we're going to look at this a little closer. He was hated by his brothers. We're not talking about some of his cousins. We're talking about his brothers did not like him. His brothers did not like him. Now, I have two brothers, and no doubt, in our lifetime, I've done a few things that they did not like. But I've never felt like they didn't like me. His brothers despised him. They did not just dislike him. They despised him. And the Bible says they were envious of him. Now, we're going to look at that word a little bit later when we get a little deeper into the word here. But I want us to think for a little while this morning about controversy in our life and why God allows adversity to come in our life. Now, do you have any of that? Is there ever any adversity? Any of you got teenagers you're going through right now? They're sad, aren't they? Well, it doesn't get any better. When they get married and have kids, it's worse. Adversity. And sometimes it'll be on the job, and sometimes it'll be because the machinery is not working right, or sometimes it'll be because some family member's thrown a monkey wrench in the fan for no reason at all. Just because the devil has led them off in some direction. But every one of us, every single one of us face adversity in our life. You know, you just get everything smoothed out and you think, okay, we got this got over this last hump, everything's going to be fine. And then we just go from one adversity to another. And that's the way life is. But God has a purpose in adversity in our life. I want us to look at that. And God had a purpose in this adversity in Joseph's life. Proverbs 24, chapter 24 and verse 10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And you know what that means? If you throw in the towel, you don't amount to much. If you throw in the towel, your strength is small. If you just say, "Well, I'm tired of fooling with it. I'll just throw it in. I'm just going to let whatever happens happen. I'm tired of fighting the battle. I'm just going to throw in the towel." And the Bible says that when we do that, that our strength is small. Luke 18 and verse 1, the Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. So our first response to adversity should not be to try to remove it. And that's really what we want to do, isn't it? I mean, we just want to remove the adversity. God has a purpose in it. He has a purpose in it. We should not try to remove it. But we ought to allow it to reveal our true weakness. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And he said unto me," this is Paul speaking here, it's God speaking through Paul, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in," what's that next word? Now, whose strength is made perfect? What's that word? What does that mean? God's strength is made perfect. God's strength is brought to completion. God's strength is he showed up and showed out, right? God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. In our weakness, when we can't handle the situation, and we didn't cause the situation, and yet we find ourselves in a place of adversity, God says that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And that's what he says to Paul. Our second response to adversity should not be to focus on the outward circumstances, but to realize that we're dealing with the unseen spiritual. I had this air conditioner worked on this week. And I fell to that, and there wasn't much cold air coming out of it, and I was aggravated. But you know that air conditioner is not my enemy. And it's not yours, and you're all fanning and everything. It was Nathan's fault. He's not here to take up for himself, so we'll just have to blame it on Nathan. No, it wasn't Nathan. It wasn't anybody's fault. They came and worked on it and thought that they had it fixed. And it's obviously not working very good. But I guarantee you it's cooler in here than it is outside. You just go out there and stand in the road for a little while and you'll find out it's a lot cooler in here than it is outside. I was raised without air conditioning. Some of y'all, when When me and my brother was little boys, there's a linoleum on our living room floor and a screen door here. And we had a General Electric oscillating fan about this big around. We set that fan in front of the screen door, and me and my brother got a pallet and laid it down on the linoleum and laid down in front of that fan. Brother, I mean, it was hot. About 10 o'clock, our mom said, "Boys, you need to turn that fan off. It's going to give you a cold." And my brother said, "Mom, it's 105 in the shade. This fan is not going to give us a cold." She wanted us turned off because she's using too much electricity. We're fighting with an unseen spiritual power. Doesn't have anything to do with fans or linoleums. I don't know why I got off on that. But we're fighting with an unseen spiritual power that is all about us. I saw a little cartoon in the paper one time, and this guy was standing. You could tell it was dark. I mean, the stars were in the sky. And he had his pajamas on, and he was standing at the window, looking out the window during the night at his water hose. And he said, "Just as I thought, it's tying itself up in knots." And it showed the water hose tying itself up in knots at night whenever he wasn't watching. And when I get a hold of the water hose or the extension cord or something that's all tied in knots, I'm thinking, there's an unseen force that is tying this thing in knots while I'm trying to untie it. But that's just something crazy. But really, in our lives, there's an unseen force that is tying things up in knots that you and I cannot see. There's a spiritual force that is fighting against us. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. We're seeing more demonic activity in the day in which you and I live than I have ever seen in my life. There is an unseen force behind the decisions that our government is making. There's a force behind that. There's a spiritual force behind that. An evil force. It's demonic. The devil is behind it. Did you know that the Bible says that the devil is so active because he knows that his days are short? Can you imagine that? That the devil knows that his days are short. Well, you and I ought to realize that the devil's days are short. Look with me at Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Galatians, Ephesians. Look at chapter 6 and look down at verse 12. "For our fight is not with our wife or our teenage daughter." That's not what that said, is it? "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So there's a constant battle going on in our life that's tying our life up in knots and tying the things of our life up in knots because there's a spiritual battle going on. That's what was happening in Joseph's life, wouldn't you say? But how he responded to that is great. How he responded to that is simply wonderful. You don't hear Joseph screaming out of the pit, "Dad's going to get you! You know, I'm his favorite." Joseph is our character, is our example in character. And I want us to look at some of those. I've been asking people this week about the character of Joseph. And Gwen and I have been talking about this. And what is it about his character that is so stands out? Number one, Joseph was sensitive to the Spirit. Is that true in your life? I mean, are you sensitive when the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart? Well, I want to tell you what will happen if you're not sensitive to it. Your heart will get hard to the moving of the Spirit of God. I mean, if you had a child and you told it to do something, it never would do it. I'd whale the far out of it, but you just get tired of that. If you had an employee and every time that you told that employee to do something, it wouldn't do it. He or she wouldn't do it. There, you'd come to a place to think, well, she needs to get a different job. I need rid of this. But what about when the Spirit is dealing with your heart? When the Spirit says to you, do this, respond to this. When the Spirit says, witness to that person. When the Spirit says, be the dad you're supposed to be. When the Spirit says, be the mom you're supposed to be. When the Spirit says, when this person is talking to you and they're talking about something off the wall somewhere, but there is a need in their life spiritually, and the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and you're identifying what that real need is and you're not responding to it. So, he was sensitive to the Spirit of God. Joseph chooses to do what is right over his own acceptance. Look back with me at Genesis 37 and look at verse 2. Now these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Did you notice that? Was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah. You remember all those wives of Jacob, and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Was he a tattletale, or was he just sensitive to the Spirit of God? Ah, 17 years old, he's old enough to know that this was not going to bring him favor with his brothers. And some would say, well, he was just trying to bring himself favor with his father. This one here is not blowing. Is that thermostat on that side kicked off or something? This was the one we had worked on over here. So he chooses what is right over his own acceptance with his brothers. Now he could think that it's not worth it. Joseph's adversity was not caused by his own choice. Look at verse 3 and verse 4 in that same chapter. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. He's sensitive to the Spirit of God, and God begins to reveal to him the future. Look at verses 5 through verse 7. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his father and his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, And they hated him yet, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obedience to my sheaves. They bowed down. They bowed and showed respect. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And we find out later he did, didn't he? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth? And verse 11 says, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Joseph was a man of trustworthiness, even with another man's wife. They sold him into Egypt, and Potiphar bought Joseph, and he began to work in his household. Now, this is what Eugene Peterson says in his translation of this verse. Chapter 39. After Joseph had been taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, Potiphar, an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's officials and the manager of his household, bought him for them. As it turned out, God was with Joseph, and things went very well with him. He ended up living in the home of the Egyptian master. His master recognized that God was with him, saw that God was working for good in everything he did. He became very fond of Joseph and made him his personal aide. He put him in charge of all his personal affairs, turning everything over to him. From that moment on, God blessed the home of the Egyptian. All because of Joseph. The blessing of God spread over everything he owned, at home and in the field. And all that Potiphar had to concern himself with was eating three meals a day. Joseph was a strikingly handsome man. As time went on, his master's wife became infatuated with Joseph and one day said, sleep with me. And he wouldn't do it. He said to his master's wife, look with me. Look, with me here, my master doesn't give a second thought to anything that goes on here. He's put me in charge of everything he owns. He treats me as an equal. The only thing that he hasn't turned over to me is you. You're his wife, after all. How could I violate his trust, now listen closely, and sin against God? She persisted him day after day, but he stood his ground. He refused to go to bed with her. Joseph was trustworthy, and you and I are to be trustworthy. Some of the men that are here today, we've just not too long back, we finished a Bible study called Stepping Up by Dennis Rainey. And in one of the chapters, this is what Dennis Rainey writes. A man controls his emotions and passions, Now, if you don't get anything else out of the lesson, I hope you men will hear this today. A man, a real man, not a weakling, not a panty waist, not a jerk, a real man controls his emotions and his passions. Whether single or married, a real man tames his passions. He doesn't abuse women and children. He protects them. He keeps his hands off of a woman who is not his wife. And he treats his wife with love, respect, and dignity. He keeps his eyes off of pornography, pornographic images. He protects a single woman's virginity and innocence. He's not a jerk defined by his exploits below his waist. He's a man with a heart, head, and a conscience. Joseph was a man with a heart, a head, and a conscience. And God's called us as men to follow the example of Joseph. Why do you think that he put all that in the scripture? For us to follow that example. Now, we're going to see a lot of other characteristics about Joseph that is going to bless your heart. Man, everything that he got into, he didn't get into on his own accord. It wasn't stuff that he did. It's what other people did to him. Now, we might say, well, it was their fault. They did that. They caused that. But in Joseph's situation, that really did happen. He is put into prison, and then he's put in charge. And God begins to bless the prison, everything that he touches. And we read in Scripture that this is true of the men of God. Read Psalms 1. Whatsoever he does will prosper, is what Psalms 1 says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And God gives us a promise that he will bless that. His character shines through when he's in Pharaoh's presence. His character shines through when he's in the palace. His character shines through When his brothers come to buy wheat, his character shines through. He has a forgiving spirit. Would you and I not have the tendency to say, now boys, this is how it is. Go back there and get in that cistern you throwed me in and see if you can find any wheat there. Let's stand together. If you're here today and not a Christian, I want to give you an invitation to become a Christian today, to accept Christ as your Savior today. If you're here today and God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, I want to give you an opportunity to come and do that today. If you're here today and God's dealing with your heart to make some other decision, you've been saved, you haven't yet followed the Lord in baptism, and you need to make that decision today, well, we want to give you an opportunity to do that today. So as we sing, you come right now.